Hey, so my name is Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 12th of October 2009 and the time is 10 past 10 at night. Can you please tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
My name is Susie Stanford. I am 24 years old, 25 in December, and I live just off Charlotte Street, so about 15 minutes walk away. And I was born in London, educated in London, lived in London forever and ever.
Okay. And when was it you first found out about the One Another project?
I walk past here all the time, so I love seeing what's on the fourth plinth generally. And I think I saw a flyer for the idea, and I don't know massive amounts about Antoine Gormley, but I knew who he was and I knew some of his sort of more commonly known stuff. So when I sort of saw the marriage of the two, I thought, brilliant, that'd be great. And I think I was out to dinner with my dad and I signed both of us up on the internet, which was like the easiest thing ever, and kind of forgot about it, and then got an email however long it was later and was like, oh, it's so exciting, it's brilliant. So yeah, I guess that was how I came to know about it.
What have you decided to do for the duration of your hour?
So kind of a marriage of lots of random things. I wanted to do something on the plinth that used the plinth as a kind of platform for a piece of art, but I'm not an artist at all. Like, that is not anything that I know much about. I knew I wanted to make something on the plinth, and I wanted to do something for the duration of the 60 minutes. I wanted to have like a starting, a purpose, and then a close to the whole thing. And so I was thinking about a bunch of stuff, and I also wanted to tie in the work of Antoine Gormley, so I kind of was rolling these ideas around in my head, and then I came up with the idea of using boxes, just because we have a million around our house, because I grew up moving house a million times because of what my parents do. So we have these enormous cardboard boxes at home that I used to crawl in and out of and cut up to shreds when I was little, so I thought I'd do something with them. And then I kind of was just got playing with them and like this idea of there being four boxes on the plinth, kind of with references to, very general soft references to, some of Antony's statues. And so that's kind of what I'm going to go up there and do Susie's take on Gormley. So, and then I want to disappear inside one of the boxes, because I like the idea of a random passerby looking for the person on the plinth and there not being that person there.
Great. So can you recount some more of these memories of the cardboard boxes then, and maybe what it's like?
Well, I remember, my parents basically used to work in the music industry, did design for them, and then when I was about five, just gave that up and decided they would start buying and selling houses. And so between the ages of 18, 19, 20, I moved probably every 6 months all around London, in lots of mad and weird and wonderful places. And so we'd move in 3 days, one day to pack everything up and put everything we owned inside these boxes, move the boxes on day two, and then one day to unpack everything. And it was the rule in our house that within the first week of being there, we had to have every single box unpacked, because my dad had this theory that if you leave boxes around, they never get unpacked, but if you just get everything out and collapse the boxes, then you've got to put it away. So we have these kind of boxes as something that have just been sort of the stepping stones between all these places growing up, which they're just a familiar thing to me. And actually, as a random tangent, I got my job. I had a competition when I was an intern trying to get my job. There were these cardboard boxes which you were supposed to move desks with. And I was in a competition, kind of in quotes, in a competition with a couple of other boys for the same job. And the guy who was running the desk said, oh, hi, whoever can make the box fastest. Probably thinking that the girl would be the worst one at making the box, because, you know, can't make boxes, you're a girl. But obviously, because I'd done them like 50 million times growing up, I did them like smashed everyone else's pieces, like made the box in like 30 seconds flat. So anyway, random. What was I talking about? Oh yes, so, and I remember, I think the funnest memory was, I was about 7 years old, we moved into a house and my bed hadn't turned up, it got lost in transit somewhere, and I remember sleeping inside one of these enormous cardboard boxes like I brought today. I mean, they're probably 4 foot long by a foot wide, 2 foot wide. I remember crawling up and sleeping inside one night and thinking that was brilliant. We used to just they were just fun to play with when you were a kid.
So what was it like changing home every 6 months?
It was it was kind of fine. I mean, it was fine because I was, we were all in the same area, so I wasn't having to like change school or change friends. So I was very lucky in that sense. So it was more, because it was all I ever knew, I thought it was quite cool because we lived in some all sorts of odd places, you know, from we'd be in like an old fashioned Victorian house, and then we'd be in a kind of glass minimalist house, and you know, in a big house in a tiny apartment, like all different sizes and all different sort of types of buildings. And so I have quite a loose concept of home, and kind of, you know, I don't have that memory of being six and swinging on the same swing when I was 16 and 26. It's not, I don't have that, but so I guess home is sort of where the stuff is. But it was, I quite liked it. I think, I mean, without getting too deep, I do think the boxes were kind of like a theme. They, I don't know, there's something about them I find very reassuring, and it kind of takes me back. It's like the common theme throughout most of my life that I can remember, which is probably why I'm using them today.
And you mentioned your job, so what is it you do professionally now?
I now work in a bank. I'm a trader in a bank, which is at the moment universally unpopular. But yeah, it's great fun, very amusing, which is where I did the box building story. So I was an intern in four years ago, and it wasn't the only reason I got the job, but I remember it being one of the funny things that happened that summer. So I have to be at work tomorrow at 6, so if I get off the plinth at midnight, home by 1, I'll sort of have 5 hours sleep and be in work, which will be interesting. But everyone at work knows I'm doing this. They all think it's very funny. In fact, my boss might actually come by, which would be good. I think they quite like the idea. There's lots of people in banking who you think of as very, very straight-laced, but actually there's lots of sort of very interesting, very intelligent, and very weird and wonderful people with some very mad ideas on the world. And it's amazing how positive and interested people are about this, even though you would have thought it would be sort of a million miles away from that industry and the type of people you'd imagine that industry. But yeah, it should be cool. Everyone wants to see the photos tomorrow, so I hope I don't make a clown of myself. But yeah, should be good.
And what do you get up to in your spare time?
All sorts, really. I grew up in sort of, when we were moving around, I lived mostly in West London, so I'm lucky, like, a lot of my friends live around there, so I think my favourite way to spend time is to just, like, go out for a long liquid dinner with friends and just chat rubbish. You know, lots of my friends do a huge range of things. One of them's an opera singer. I mean, my four girls, who was best friends with the school, who are all here this evening, you know, one's an opera singer, one's a doctor, one's works as for a photographer, and, you know, there's me in banking. So we're like a huge range of people who, you know, 4 years ago were, you know, pretty homogenous and pretty similar and doing the same thing, and suddenly, pow, 4 years later, you're just completely different, living completely different lives. And it's quite nice when you all just go back to being four girls around a dinner table and just chatting absolute shit. it's good. I think that's my favourite thing to do.
And what's it like being one of 2,400 people that get to experience the plinth and be part of the piece?
I was really excited to get it. It was one of those things, like I said, I signed up and then sort of forgot about it, and, you know, doing the maths, you don't think you're going to get it. Especially, like, when you say you have got it, people are like, oh, you must have had an amazing idea. And you don't. You sign up as, you know, a name and a number and an age, I think is how it's done. And you get random balloted. And then it feels like such a privilege. I was really excited, like really excited to be part of it. I think, as I said, one, because I thought it was such a fantastic idea. Two, the location is amazing. I mean, even just to stand at that vantage point, like, I'm keen to see what it looks like. I've always looked up at it. Like, I've never, you know, you're going to be one of, you know, a very small number of people in the world who ever are going to see it from that point of view, and I think that's really cool. And then I suppose lastly, just to be part of something, you know, as your colleague was saying, everyone seems really excited to be part of the project and, like, to be part of a creative process or a social study or whatever you want to call it. Like, it's cool to be part of a kind of group that brings a complete melee of random people from all over, and just there's this one common theme that everyone says, yeah, I'm up for it. I think that's really cool. I don't know, it's nice.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
I don't know. I once said in my interview, I said mad, bad and dangerous to know, and I was asked that question, but I was 18 at the time, so I think it's probably best not to say that kind of thing now. I don't know. I think, you know, when I had to describe myself on the website, three words, I said exhaustion before boredom, which I think is probably why I do my job, is why I wanted to do this, is, you know, why I would do most things, is just why not. That's what I felt about this project. Fantastic idea, you know, a finite amount of time and an opportunity, like, do it, why not? You've got no idea what it would feel like. So I guess that's kind of the mantra, time is slipping by, so go for it if it appeals.
So what would you say are the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
I'm trying to buy a house at the moment, partly because, I mean, my job is quite full on in terms of hours, and it's pretty high pace and, you know, high octane, and so who knows how long I'll be able to do it for, almost won't want to do it for. And so I made a decision, you know, pretty much as soon as I joined the industry, that, you know, I wanted to go in, do it, put all the money into a house, so that if one day I decide, you know what, I want to go and, you know, paint blue parrots, I can go paint blue parrots. You know, I think that's my objective at the moment, is to get myself in a position where I can do what I would like. So I guess that's the target moment, and make sure I'm seeing all my friends. Those are the only things that really count to me, I would say.
Have you got any ideas of stuff that you might like to do, kind of when you got to that stage where you're not in banking anymore?
I don't know. Like, I think that's actually, that's the unknown. Like, I'm not unhappy in my current status quo. I guess it's more just thinking forward. You know, as I said, I'm only 24. It's not really a plan for right now. It's more that I don't ever want to be that person who is beholden to anyone or anything. Like, I believe very much in being self-sufficient, whether it's, you know, financial, remote, romantically, you know, from a friend point of view or anything. Like, I like the idea of, if you're in a position where you, I guess, kind of can stand alone and, you know, look after yourself, then you've got the world to make choices from. I don't know what I actually would choose to do at this point, but I don't know. I like the idea of just getting things positioned so that you can take advantage if an opportunity presents itself.
And what hopes and fears would you say you have for the future?
Hopes and fears. I guess hopes are quite vague ones. Like, I definitely know that I want to do something in my life that, like, counts for something. And I don't mean that in terms of, like, working for a charity. Like, I don't think I mean necessarily that. What I mean is, I want to leave the world having physically made an impact or a difference. Like, having said, look, that's what I achieved, or that's what I changed in the world, or that's, like, I want to be accountable to something. For me, I think that's sort of my biggest wish. And my biggest fear is the other side of that, of sort of drifting through time, missing opportunities, and just the moment passing and thinking, God, what a waste. So I guess they're one and the same, the hope and the fear.
So going back to the project, if I could, how are you feeling approximately 30 minutes before you go up on the plinth?
I'm really excited. I'm slightly worried about being cold. I get cold very easily. And I'm also a bit worried about the boxes fitting on, but I'm really excited. Really excited. And I haven't done something, you know, I love my art at school, but that was, you know, 7 years ago. I haven't done something, like, physically creative for 7 years. So I'm quite excited about, like, seeing how this idea in my head actually looks, if it looks okay, how it will work out. I'm quite excited about that.
And what do you think you might take away from the experience?
Maybe it will reignite that creativity, maybe. If anything, you know, just on a basic level, I think it would just be an amazing experience to have done, and sort of agrees with my idea that if opportunities present themselves, you just go for it, because even if it's just for the enjoyment of that experience of going for it, who knows? Like, you don't get anywhere by sitting on your ass and just waiting. So I don't know, I just think it's such a unique thing. Never again will this present itself. Never again will you get an opportunity to do this. Why would you not take the opportunity? Why would you not? You know, so many people have said to me, but why? Why would you do that? I'm like, why would you not do it? Like, to me, that makes no sense. I just think it would be mad. It'd be so crazy and fun, and it's Monday and it's midnight and what the hell. hell am I doing on a plinth in Trafalgar Square? Well, because I've never been on a plinth in Trafalgar Square at midnight on a Monday. I think it'll be cool. I'm really excited, really excited. I've been excited since I got the place. It's so cool.
And what are you planning on doing
after
you get down, yeah?
I think, actually, it's my friend's birthday tomorrow on the 13th. So I'm going to wish her happy birthday as I get off the plinth, because it'll be her birthday. And I think we're going to go get some ice cream. And then, given that I'll be getting up about 4 hours later, I'm probably going to go home, sleep for 4 hours, and then go to work. Try and survive the day.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to say about you, about what you're doing on the plinth, or about the project, or the space?
No. I guess just thank you. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.